fact, that is a good ministry just to put in the back of somebody's mind. If you'd like to help with children's church this year, I can imagine there would be a special place just for you. And think about it. I just want to ask you a question. Who do you know? It's interesting to say, okay, who do you know? Boy, you see this seat right here, you wonder, who's going to be called up today? That would be awesome. We're going to be running a little short of time. Does anybody want to sit in the hot seat? Okay, we're going to let you off if you'll answer the questions. Okay, here's the first question. Who's Adam? First man God created? What else you know about Adam? You know, there's some people you really need to know. And these people that we're talking about in the Bible, okay? What else do you know about him? Okay, he brought sin into the world through disobedience. He ate the apple. That's true. He did. That's right. In the Garden of Eden. Yeah. And what? Gene strikes again. Adam, where it all began. What else do you know? Who's the second Adam? Jesus. Jesus is the second Adam. Okay? What? Adam brought death into the world. Jesus, the second Adam, brought life. So, see, it's really important to know who Adam is. Y'all did real good on Adam. And so, therefore, I want to commend you. So, therefore, I'll leave the hot seat open just for a few moments. You may get called in just a few moments. But you want to remember that it was Adam that was first created. He was the first one commissioned. He was to work. He and his wife were to have children, reproduction. There was to be the curse on the earth resulted in him, corruption, death. So y'all brought it out. But the second person that I'd like to talk about is Abraham. What do you know about Abraham? Abraham's found, all throughout the Bible. And you can say, Abraham, well, we've heard about him. Actually, he was known as Abram. Three religious groups all claim him as the father or the progenitor, the one that really got their start. First of all, the Jews, they go back to Abraham, Father Abraham. Secondly, the Christians. And thirdly, the Muslims. They claim Abraham through Ishmael. But we know that with Christ, that Abraham is extremely important. Because if you looked in the Bible in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, you would see the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And let me read it for you. In Matthew 1, 1, it says, "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David." The son of Abraham. I mean, right there at the very beginning, and if you traced it down, you could go all the way back to Adam, through the lineage of Noah, through Abraham, to David, to the Christ. So it's very important for us to know something about who this man is. So Abraham is where, this is where the faith turned its corner for our observation. So the first thing I want you to know about Abraham is where he was born. Abraham was born in Ur of the Chaldees. So how did he get there? You know, it's kind of interesting when you think about how did you get to where you are. Troy, how did you get to Ethelsville, Alabama? Okay, Troy, if you don't answer, you got to sit in the seat.
My dad bought a place over there, and then I moved up there to live
with him. All right. Boy, he answered quickly. His dad bought a place, and so therefore he moved up there. How did you get to where you are today? All of us have a story. But I wonder if your story is like Abraham's. You see, Abraham, if he went back to Adam and Eve and back in that area where the Garden of Eden, then you move right out of the Garden of Eden, you find that he's going to be raised in Ur of the Chaldees. But how did he get to Ur of the Chaldees? Well, it's where his father was. That was probably a good statement where his father was, but how did his father get there? You see, you have to go back a little bit further. Because God created this world and the people started living just the way they're living. Many people are living today. They started living the way they wanted to. Marrying and giving in marriage and forgetting about God. And so therefore they started to get all kind of wickedness going on in this world. Till God got so fed up with it, God said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to wash it clean. Deep water. we call the flood. We've seen so much rain lately, I think we got a little taste of it. You know, he said, I'm going to wash it clean. And that's what he did. He washed all of the world clean, killed every living thing except the animals and Noah and the eight people that were on the ark. So, where did Abraham come from? Yeah. Mount Ararat? That's where, you know, that's where the ark went down to the dry ground. And then from that, we see, you know, that they all got together and said, let's move. And they started settling around a place called Babylon or Babel. And these guys got together. The world's population was still small at that time. And the world's population there at Babel, they start saying, you know what we'll do? Let's build a city that'll go all the way to the sky. And when we build a city to go all the way to the sky, then we'll be in control of our own destiny. In essence, we don't need God because we're going to just raise this tower up to the heavens and we're going to take care of ourselves. And so they started building this huge city. This wall. And they started building up and God looked down and said, look guys, what's going on down there? And he says, if they complete this, if they finish this, then men will get together and they'll do whatever they want to do. In essence, independent of God. So God says, okay guys, go get them. So what God did, all those people that were working down and speaking whatever that language was that Adam spoke, God touched their tongues. And then they started speaking all kind of languages. Just like, Dobre utro. Good morning. Ukrainian. Did you understand Dobre utro? No, neither did they. Okay? And that's what happened. And because nobody understood what was going on, what did they do? They started going to different parts of the world. People spoke Chinese. People spoke Russian. People spoke all different kind of languages. Why did they do that? Because you see, when they were there at that city, they said, we're going to build this tower that's going to reach the heaven. We'll take care of ourselves. But they forgot God's commandment. You remember what God commanded Adam and Eve to do? They said, have children, reproduce, and replenish the earth. And what these guys were saying, no, we're all going to stay around this city, and we're all just going to be one big happy family. And God says, that's not going to get the job done. So He scattered them out throughout the world. Now, from that place of Babel, which many call Babylon, there, can y'all see the first dot, the first little line there at the bottom, your bottom, whichever way, your bottom right corner? Your bottom right corner, that's Ur of the Chaldees. That next era up, that's Babylon. Probably Babel. And then the next era up is going to be Haran, where they went. And then the next era down there on the side, that's going to be Israel, or that's going to be the land of Canaan, the promised land. What you're looking at, that red dot, that's where Abraham traveled at least 600 miles, and that was on foot, okay? Or with camels or donkeys. Mostly people walk. How would you like to walk 600 miles? That'd be a long ways. Yeah. Our forefathers did it. Many of them, they went further than that. East Coast. But you know, so Abraham was born there in the Ur of the Chaldees. There's something else going on in Ur of the Chaldees, though. I want to kind of get you up to date. They had different kind of religions and all that they were working with, but now God scattered them across. But when God scattered them, God gave him a wife. Abram took a wife. And Abram's wife was named what? Sarai at first, and then Sarah. Y'all got it exactly right. And then Sarah, he loved her. She believed in God because Abraham believed in God, but they were coming out of a country that didn't believe in God. We're going to see that. But they wanted to stay with that family. So he married inside of the faith. And that's what God wants us to do today. God wants us to marry inside of the faith. Believers ought to marry believers. And he gave them this beautiful wife. Her name was Sarah. And you know that Sarah, when she was 90 years old, did you know she was a knockout? Do you know any 90-year-old women that are still a 10? Well, my mama is, but now that's because she's my mama. But I mean, you know what? She was a knockout when she had a kid at 90 years old. And after she had a kid at 90 years old, she is still a knockout. But all during this first 90 years, she was without child. Abram loved her very much. So Abram loved his wife and believed that God had a promise for them. So in Genesis 11:30 says, but Sarai was barren. She had no child. So Abram began this journey to Canaan under the leadership of God. And what God said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to leave now. I want you to go to a land that I promised you. Well, his father left Ur, went to Haran. And they stayed in Haran until the father died. He didn't complete his journey till after his father died. It seemed like some physical things need to happen in people's life before they go to the next part of the journey. And so when his father died, then God came back and spoke to Abram again. Look, Abram, I got some place for you to go. So he took off. He went with Sarah. He took off now. Under number three, Abram began a journey to Canaan under the leadership of God. And so he traveled then by faith. And that's what God wants us to do today. Next, though, I want you to know that Abraham obeyed the voice of God. Abram, now y'all still with me? Abram, we got to talk. I'm going to change his name to Abraham. I'm not going to tell you when. But y'all stay with me. When we change his name to Abraham, you can say, preacher's almost through now. Okay, all right, so bear with me. Abram obeyed the voice of God. And I want you to look over, very important, in Genesis chapter 12, and flip over there real quick. You got to see this guy. In Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Now, back up in 11, while you're getting there, 11:32, it says, so the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. That was his father. Okay, here we go. In verse 12, it says, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. That's pretty tough, folks. Leave it all behind. Go to a land you've never seen, but you follow me. But he went with a promise. He said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. Not only bless, you're going to be one. You're going to bless nations of the world. How does this little country boy from the early Chaldees feel? Understand he's going to be a blessing to the whole world? That don't make sense unless you put it in the context of God. How are you a blessing to the world unless you put yourself in the context of what God has in store for you? And you too can be a blessing. Verse 3 says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So, this guy named Abram, how were all the families of the earth blessed? It came out of the loins, out of the lineage of Abraham. Oops, excuse me, Abram. Abram to David to who? Jesus. Okay? How's Abram going to be a blessing to the world? Because out of Abram is going to come forth Jesus Christ. And so now what we're seeing here, that Abram obeyed the voice of God, he left it all behind, and he took off, and on this trip, food got tight. And so Abram went down to Egypt and went on the way down to Egypt looking for food. He didn't trust God enough along the way. Sometimes you don't trust God enough. But on the way down, he went to Egypt and he told his wife, Sarah, said, look, when we get down there, tell everybody that you're my sister. Does that sound neat? Sound like a real man, doesn't it? When we get down there, you tell him. No, it was still true. It was what I call a half-truth. Had the same father, different mothers. He married his sister. Okay? She was a knockout. Okay? And so they went down there, and all of a sudden, that's exactly what happened. The king saw how beautiful Sarah was and said, look, I want to take her. And he says, okay, she's your sister. And he took her. But then when he took her to be his wife, God sent disease into that nation, to that land, that king. And that king said, oh no, I done messed up. And he turned and he gave Sarah back without defiling her, without touching her. He gave her back. A little bit later, this happens again. But the next time when it happens again, when the king takes over a wife, different town, different place, different king, God comes to him, comes to that other king in a dream and said, look, you're a dead man because you got another man's wife. What do you suppose? That kind of dream, that'd wake you up in the middle of the night, wouldn't it? And so therefore, he woke up in the middle of the night and he said, now wait a minute, God, look, I didn't touch her. I hadn't done anything wrong. He said it was a sister. And God says, I know, I kept her from you, but you give her back to Abram. Okay, so twice we see this guy Abram kind of, I call him, turning back on his wife, but he was afraid of his own life. Now, don't throw rocks too much at Abram yet, because we're going to identify some things very, very pointedly here in just a few moments. So therefore, Abraham, he obeyed the voice of God. Abraham acted foolishly on a trip down to Egypt. And when he went down there, Abraham and Lot, now Lot was a nephew, on the way when they left out of Ur of the Chaldees, he took his nephew Lot with him. And they became so wealthy that Abraham said, look, our servants are getting in a fight with each other. And we ought not be a fighting, feuding family. So this is what we'll do. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. So that's what Abraham did. He says, okay. And old Lot looked around. Lot saw, man, the grass was green towards Sodom and Gomorrah before it was destroyed. And old Lot said, I'm going after the best pasture land. And he says, I'll take this way. And then he said, okay. Abraham said, I'll take the other way. Because Abraham trusted and believed God. And I'm going to bring all this in capsule form with you here in just a few moments. But I want you to know that Abraham chose this land. Abraham allowed Lot to choose the land because he knew under God that God was going to protect him and he was going to value him and God would be with him. So he said, I don't want to have any fussing and fighting in the family. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go our separate ways. We're going to live happily ever after. Well, along the course of life, remember old Abram. Here he is, a guy that now is probably getting around 90 years old. But he was also a man of war. He trained 318 men in his own household. Lot, his nephew, had gone off down to Sodom. There became war between four kings and five kings. In the onslaught of this, Lot got caught in the middle, and the winning king took Lot and all of his family and took him away. Word got back to Abram. Abram, Lot's been captured. Immediately, Abraham rose up to war. Now, it's so important to know that Abram was also a warring man, because you have to fight spiritual warfare. And you've got to be prepared. Now, I'll bring all this together for you in a minute. But you got to be prepared. So remember that Abraham trained and he went off and by night and they captured and they conquered and they brought back all of the bounty that was there. And then we see something else happen. When he got back from the war, Abraham went to sleep one night. Abraham was given a vision, confirming a promise. But it was this. He said, Abraham, all your children, they're going to go into captivity. 400 years they're going to be afflicted. Now, how would you like, Robert, how would you like if you knew that Skylar had to go into a foreign land and be afflicted? That'd be bad, wouldn't it? Be bad. That's what God told Abram. Your children, your lineage is going to go into Egypt. 400 years going to be afflicted, but then I'm going to bring them out. Abraham was horror struck. He didn't know what to say, but he still trusted God. The next day, we see, or the next period of time, that after Abraham would go out, he knew that his family was going to suffer, but he knew that God was in charge of things. So Abraham's now, he's reaching up there into the latter part of the years, getting up there close to around 87, something like that. And all of a sudden, his wife has been barren all these years. So Sarah says to Abraham, "said, look, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take my servant to be your wife and give me a child." Now, that sounds weird for us in our culture, but in their culture, that's what they could do. Took her servant, Sarah took her servant, gave to Abraham to marry so that Sarah could get the child. But that's what happened. Sarah listened to his wife. And when he listened to his wife, then all of a sudden a child was born. And the child's name was Ishmael. Ishmael is the lineage of the Arabs. The Arab nations that we have today, the wars and all that's going on, come out of that side. So it was not good counsel. But Abraham did listen to his wife. And he listened to the wrong voice. Abraham listened to Sarah. And yes, they did claim and they did give this birth. The Muslim nation, they claim Abraham through Ishmael. That's the reason they say they reach out. And the last thing I want you to see on this part one is that Abraham's name was changed to Abraham. And Benny said, he finally got to Abraham. His name was changed. Abram means this. Abram means the high father. Abraham means the father of nations. And when he gave him this promise, he also said, look, the promise is not coming through Ishmael, Hagar. The promise is coming through Sarai. And he changed Sarai's name to Sarah. And then it was out a year later, he had Isaac. Okay, now, all right, now, how does all this fit together? Why is it so important for you to know? And it's the reason why, because we're going to be talking about faith. I got 10 points of faith that's not in your bulletin. I hope you got all the answers. Did we miss any? Did I skip any, guys? We got? Okay, good. Here's the summation of what we're talking about. Why is Abraham so important? Number one, faith is not blind, it's guided. When Abraham was asked, God called him to leave his home and go now to a distant land that you hadn't seen, but he said, I'm going to be with you. What he had to do? He had to call Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees with these different gods so that he would serve only the Lord God Jehovah. Faith is not blind. When you have faith in God, it's not blind faith. It's guided faith. Number two, faith is not alone. God provides helpers. In many cases, it's a husband and a wife. In other cases, it may be an uncle or an aunt or a friend. But in your journey with faith, God will not leave you alone. God gave Sarah to Abram to be his helpmate in life and also bringing the promised child. So faith is not alone. God does provide. Thirdly, faith is built on trust. Abraham had to leave his home and go to a land that he'd never seen before because God said to him, God is going to ask you in 2015. He's going to ask you to do some things that's going to blow your mind. And you're going to say, I've never seen it, heard it, I don't know what you're talking about. But you're going to say, God said do it. And if God said do it by faith, it's not blind faith, it's guided faith. By faith, I am going to reach out and I'm going to take the journey. God guided Abraham 600 miles to a land of promise. Number four, faith is a blessing to the world. God's grace works through faith. For by grace you have been saved. God presented Abraham with a promise. He said, this is the promise. I'm going to make you a blessing to the nations of the world. And you will be a blessing and you will bless the nations. Because it was out of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came out of Abraham. So faith is a blessing. When you personally exercise your faith, you become a blessing. Now, do y'all like to be blessed? Y'all like to be happy? If you want to be blessed, this is what you do. Get around somebody that's being blessed, and you're going to get blessed. You want to know the opposite side of that? Get around somebody that's an old grouch, and what do you become? You become an old grouch. That's right. But if you get around somebody that's being blessed, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be blessed. Abraham was that. Get around God's people. Iron sharpens iron. Talk about Him. Live for Him. Because you see, you are a blessing. Number five, faith is not destroyed in weakness. Fear hinders faith. You remember how that Abraham tried to protect himself by telling Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister? He was afraid for his own life. Did God kick him out for that? No. God still protected Sarah, even though the knight in shining armor had a kink in his armor. Remember that faith, God is still at work when your faith is weak. Scripture says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Faith is not destroyed in weakness. Faith is holding on. Faith holds on to God's prosperity. Lot was given first choice. God prospered Abraham in humility by giving others the first choice. Do you like letting somebody else be first? Many of you do. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. Humility, God blesses. Faith is necessary in spiritual warfare. Evil must be faced. God prepared Abram for war physically and spiritually. In 2015, folks, you better put your sword on. We're talking about the wonders of what's going to happen in 2015, but let me tell you something very plain. Satan is not laying down in 2015. Satan knows that his day is coming. He knows that it's closer. And he knows that believers in 2015 are going to rise up and must rise up and they must fight. So therefore, I'm telling you this day, the first of the year, that you better prepare for war. Spiritual warfare is right now. Are you prepared for the battle? Abraham prepared 318 men. Who are you preparing to war with you? You see, if you think you're going to fight this battle all by yourself, you better think again. Abraham could not have gone down there and fought the five kings by himself. But with 318 men guided by God, they conquered the multitude. Are you ready spiritually? Are you ready for spiritual war? If you don't know how to fight spiritually, you better get ready to fight. Because this is going to happen in this year. Faith is strengthened by affliction. Remember that his grandchildren were going to go down into Egypt and become slaves afflicted for 400 years? Just because you experience affliction does not mean that God has taken His hand off you. God has a perfect plan, and in God's perfect plan, it takes time, and God's going to work it out, and there's going to be affliction in the midst of that. Some of you are going to suffer in 2015 more than you've ever suffered before, but you can also have the promise, God's deliverance. As God delivered the children of Israel at the end of 400 years, God also will deliver you out of a season. So if you have, and many of you will, experience a season of affliction now, but you can also know the promise of God as He spoke to Abraham, so He will speak to you. Number nine, faith is tenacious. Faith is tenacious. When one falls down, when he's got faith, he gets up. He does not give up. God's way is not Abram's way. Remember how Abram said, look, I'm going to help God out. I'm going to answer the voice of my wife, and I'm going to have a child by Hagar. I'm going to help God out. God doesn't need your help out. What God needs is your obedience. What God needs is you to follow His will, His perfect will. What God tells you to do, you don't have to figure it out for God. God's already got the game plan. All He's asking for us to do is to run the plays. And when we run the plays, we win the game. When we don't run the plays, then we get called out of bounds. Abraham tried to help God out, and he caused problem for the world until the end comes. Follow God's perfect plan. He's got a way. Faith is tenacious. When you're 100 years, when you're 99 years old and you hadn't had a child of promise, you don't give up. When you didn't get the answer that you wanted, after days or months or years of praying, you don't give up. Tenacious. Stay with the stuff. And lastly, faith is futuristic in scope. Nations of the world would be blessed. And God gave Abram a new name. He gave him the name Abraham, father of nations. So, therefore, what I'd like you to know is that one day God's going to give you a new name. It's a name written on a stone. It's a name that nobody else knows but God alone. Find this in the Revelation. God will give you that special name. God has a promise and a plan. And God wants to work out. It's important for us to know men like Abraham. Know that we're not perfect, but they were men of faith. And we're going to experience just a little bit more about Abraham because there's some things I need you. Did you know that God asked him to kill his son? There's some stuff about Abraham that we really need to know. Oh, it's tough stuff. So when we leave from here, remember that Abraham is known as the father of faith. He really is. So let's get to know this guy just a little bit better because there's some things about him that really will change your life. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you today, we come understanding, God, that there were men who were behind us who were strong men of faith, but it was men that were not perfect. God, we're not perfect, but we are men and women of faith. Father, we know that in 2015 there's going to be spiritual warfare going on. We're already in the midst of it. And it's going to intensify. We know that because you said it was going to get stronger. As closer we came to the end of the world, it's going to get stronger. So God, help us prepare the army. Abraham had 318 soldiers, trained soldiers in his household. Father, I pray that you will train this household right here. The 70 people that's in here right now. Close to. Father, I pray that you will train them for spiritual warfare, so that when we're called upon, we're not going to think twice about it. We're just going to put our sword on and we're going to go for it. Lord, we believe. We believe, Lord, that by faith, by grace through faith, people are going to be saved this year. We believe lives are going to be changed. Father, we believe, God, that 2015 is going to be the year of the Lord. This is your year, Lord. And we want to live it out with every moment of it. So God, it all starts now. And by faith, Lord, we're going to trust you. We're going to live for you. We're going to go through affliction. We're going to fall down. We're going to rise up. And we're going to give God the glory. And we are going to be a blessing. We are going to be a blessing to the world. Because you live in us. So Father, strengthen us this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we travel this next journey, do you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? It's 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations from David to Jesus. There's been a few over 14 generations to where you are today. But do you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Abraham was a man of faith. He gives us an example to follow. And Abraham points us to Jesus. Do you have Jesus living in your heart? 2050. Are you ready for the year? If not, I'm going to invite you to ask Jesus in your heart this morning. All I want you to do is say, just come up and say, Robert, I want Jesus. That's all you have to say. If you've already asked Jesus in your heart and you want to follow the Lord in baptism, say, look, Robert, I've asked Jesus, but I want to follow the Lord in baptism. I want to come this morning. Now, in 2015, some of you are already facing some spiritual warfare. I think that some of us may need to go to these altars today. We may need to get ready for what is happening or what's going to happen. It's here. We're here. We're pressing forward. Taking no prisoners. going all the way with Jesus Christ. All the way. So do you need to make a decision this morning? If you do, while we stand and we sing, let's make decisions today. Okay, let's stand together.